Welcome to the deep dive. I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you just delivered the absolute perfect pitch.
Oh, we all know that feeling.
Right. Like, the demo was totally flawless, the client was nodding along the entire time, hands were shaken, smiles were exchanged, and you left that conference room absolutely certain you just landed the account of the year.
You're practically spending the commission.
Exactly. And then complete silence for 6 months.
Oh, man. It hurts.
It really does. You send follow-up emails, you leave voicemails, and you get absolutely nothing in return. It's basically the universally frustrating experience in the business world.
It's what people call the dreaded B2B black hole.
Yeah, the black hole. And the instinct is usually to just blame the product, right? We sit around wondering if our features aren't good enough or maybe our pricing is just out of touch.
Which is totally natural.
Right.
But the reality is the momentum didn't vanish because of a missing feature.
Right.
You didn't lose the deal because your product failed. You lost it because you were marketing to a ghost.
A ghost. Man, that is a brutal realization. But it is entirely backed up by the research we are diving into today.
It really is.
So we've got our hands on this really insightful piece by Lauren Popick. She's the marketing director over at Reach Marketing.
Great article.
Yeah. It was published on May 20, 2026. It's titled Surround Sound Marketing with Marketing AI Plus Keybee.
And it really shifts how you look at the whole sales process.
It does. Our mission for this deep dive is to figure out why these massive B2B sales just stall out. And, you know, more importantly, how modern AI-driven strategies are completely rewiring the system to prevent that whole six-month ghosting period.
Because it represents a fundamental shift in the entire philosophy of selling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are moving away from celebrating those minor vanity metrics.
Yeah, finally.
Right. And finally dealing with the reality of how complex organizations actually spend their money.
Okay, let's unpack this. The core problem presented right at the top of Popek's article is that most deals stall because the actual decision makers inside the buying company, they never fully understood the value of the product.
They never even saw it.
Exactly. The marketing simply didn't reach the people who actually hold the purse strings.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, traditional B2B marketing has historically been completely obsessed with acquiring a single lead.
Just one person.
Just one. Getting one person's name on a spreadsheet, you know, or getting one email address, or just getting one white paper downloaded.
And then they celebrate.
Oh, a marketing team would see that single form submission, ring a bell, and declare a total victory.
Which is crazy.
It is. But that single touch obsession is just completely divorced from how businesses actually operate.
We all know how corporate buying works. I mean, you listening right now, think about your own company.
Yeah, think about the last tool you bought.
Right. You don't just swipe a corporate card for a massive new enterprise software platform.
Right.
There is an entire gauntlet of approvals you have to get through.
A huge gauntlet.
You have your initial researcher, sure. But then the department head needs to weigh in on how it impacts the team.
And finance has to scrutinize the budget.
Oh, always finance. And IT has to do a security audit.
Yeah.
And then the executive team has to sign off on the strategic value of the whole thing. The source actually calls this the buying committee.
And ignoring that committee is basically the fatal flaw of traditional lead generation.
How so?
Well, it produces that single name, usually a mid-level manager or maybe a junior analyst who's just tasked with researching options.
Right.
And the system assumes, great, this prospect is ready for a heavy-handed sales call.
Which is wild when you think about it. Relying on a single-touch lead is like, it's like pitching a movie to the key grip and assuming the studio will greenlight it.
That is exactly what it's like.
You might have completely convinced the key grip that the movie is a masterpiece, but they do not have the authority to write a $50 million check.
That analogy perfectly captures the friction here. And honestly, it gets worse.
Wait, worse how?
Because by stopping your marketing efforts after acquiring that single lead, you're placing an impossible burden on that one junior employee.
Oh, I see.
You are essentially asking a 24-year-old analyst to go play internal salesperson and pitch your highly complex product to their own CFO.
And their head of IT.
Exactly. They don't have the collateral for that.
They don't know the ROI metrics that finance demands?
No, and they definitely don't know the API integration spec that the technical team needs to see either.
So of course the deal stalls.
Of course it does. The analyst brings it up in a meeting. The CFO asks a really hard question about cost over time. The analyst doesn't have the answer. And, well, the initiative just dies on the vine.
That is the anatomy of a stalled deal right there.
Huh.
The prospect needs more time. The committee needs internal discussion.
Yep.
And every stakeholder needs specific proof tailored to their department before they're ever going to be ready to get on a call with your sales team.
Which is a huge hurdle.
So if a single email to an analyst isn't enough to convince a CFO, how do you reach that CFO without just, you know, cold calling them and annoying them?
That is the million-dollar question.
And that brings us to the solution Reach Marketing proposes, which they call the surround sound approach.
Surround sound marketing.
Because a single touch point fails to convince a whole committee, the strategy has to evolve to encompass the entire group across multiple environments.
The methodology here is really about maintaining a visible, relevant message across multiple channels. You want to engage all the stakeholders simultaneously throughout their entire buying journey.
And the article lists a very specific mix of coordinated channels to achieve this. They mention email, obviously.
Naturally.
But they also integrate direct mail, display ads, retargeting, telemarketing, search, and website tracking.
It's a comprehensive web.
Now, instead of just reading that list, let's look at how this actually plays out in reality. Because I've got to be honest, when I first hear that list, emails, direct mail packages showing up on my desk, display ads following me around the internet.
It sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a ton. Isn't surround sound just a fancy marketing euphemism for bombarding people with spam across every screen they own?
What's fascinating here is the absolute critical distinction between spam and orchestrated coordination.
Okay, clarify that for me.
Well, spam is loud, it's untargeted, and it completely ignores user behavior. It's literally just yelling into a megaphone hoping someone hears you.
Right.
What Reach Marketing describes is a synchronized ecosystem. Each channel plays a highly specific role that's triggered by actual behavior.
So it's not about blasting the same generic pitch to everyone at the company simultaneously?
Not at all. Let's walk through the mechanism.
Let's do it.
Someone at the target company starts actively searching for a solution. The search channel captures that active intent.
Okay.
They click a link and land on your website. Now, website tracking notes their behavior and drops a cookie or logs their IP address.
That's pretty standard so far.
Right. But then they leave without buying anything. In a spam model, you'd immediately start cold calling them.
Which is super annoying.
Exactly. In the surround sound model, the system waits.
And then triggers retargeting quietly in the background.
Exactly. But it goes deeper than that. The system uses that IP data to understand which company visited.
Oh, wow.
Now, display ads start appearing not just for the person who visited, but across the broader network of that specific company.
So it spreads out.
Yes. So when the CFO logs on to Forbes or the Wall Street Journal the next morning, they see a subtle, high-level ad about your brand's ROI.
Oh, I see. So you are basically dropping air cover. The junior analyst did the search, but now the CFO is being primed with brand awareness.
That's the mechanism. And then maybe the system waits until intent rises further before triggering a highly targeted direct mail piece.
Like something physical.
Exactly. Something physical and premium sent directly to the desk of the executive decision maker. It is a consistent presence, yes, but it's tailored to the specific role and triggered by the account's overall engagement level.
Which brings up a massive logistical challenge, right?
It's huge.
Because you can't speak to the executive the same way you speak to the technical lead. The article points out that this strategy requires splitting your focus into two parallel tracks.
Individual and committee.
Right. Marketing to the individual and marketing to the committee.
It is a delicate balancing act. Every buying journey does start with an individual person taking an action.
True.
And the rule here is that timing for that individual must be determined by their actual behavior, not by an arbitrary campaign calendar.
That feels like a direct shot at traditional marketing automation. I mean, the old logic was we send an email on Tuesday and we automatically send the follow-up on Thursday.
Which assumes everyone operates on your schedule.
Exactly. But if that individual prospect hasn't engaged with Tuesday's email, or if they just need more education, sending a hard sell on Thursday is just going to alienate them.
That's the trap of relying on flimsy metrics like email open rates.
Yeah.
Reach Marketing notes that just because someone opened an email does not mean they are ready for a sales call.
They might have just been clearing out their inbox.
Exactly. I do that all the time. The surround sound approach measures engagement across the entire spectrum. Did they open the email? Yes. But did they also visit the pricing page?
Did they watch the demo video?
Right.
If they didn't, the system doesn't force an awkward sales handoff. It just quietly keeps them on an educational nurture path.
While managing the second track.
Right. While you are tracking the individual's readiness, you're also marketing to the broader committee.
Building account-wide awareness so your internal advocate has backup
Yes.
Think about it. When that junior analyst finally works up the courage to bring your software up in a budget meeting, the department head shouldn't be hearing your company's name for the very first time.
That's a great point.
Because of the display ads and the targeted direct mail, the department head thinks, "Oh yeah, I've seen them around. They seem like a major player in this space."
And suddenly the friction is removed.
Exactly.
So, what does this all mean for the people actually running these campaigns? Because honestly, tracking the researchers' individual behavior, mapping their company's IP, serving distinct display ads to their CFO,
Couple a lot.
it's insane. Dropping direct mail to the VP, adjusting the timing based on website clicks. Doing this for one company sounds exhausting.
Doing it for 500 target accounts sounds mathematically impossible.
Right. A human marketing team would completely burn out trying to manage that matrix.
They absolutely would. No team of humans sitting around a spreadsheet could possibly manage the thousands of variables and timing triggers required to execute this flawlessly.
It's just too much data.
Way too much. And that is why artificial intelligence is no longer just a buzzword in B2B marketing. It is the fundamental infrastructure required to make this strategy work.
Which brings us to the brains of the entire operation. Marketing AI plus C.
The central orchestrator.
Yeah, the article positions this AI not just as a tool, but as the core engine of the entire surround sound experience.
It acts as the connective tissue. The source explains that every single interaction is treated as a signal.
Okay, a signal.
Right. An email click is a signal. A repeat visit to a technical specs page is a signal. A direct mail piece being delivered is a signal.
And in isolation, to a human, those signals are meaningless noise.
Completely meaningless.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. Reading about how Marketing AI Plus ingests all these disparate inputs, it feels exactly like a detective standing in front of one of those red string conspiracy
Oh,
boards.
that is the perfect visual for how this machine learning operates.
Right. You had a pin on the board over here that says, someone on the HR team downloaded a white paper 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
You have another pin over here saying, an anonymous user from the same company's IP address watched a security integration video yesterday.
Yep.
And a third pin saying, the CEO clicked a display ad on a financial news site this morning.
All separate events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To a human marketer looking at three different software dashboards, those are completely unrelated events. But the AI is the detective tying the red string between all of them.
Stepping back and realizing the bigger picture.
Realizing that these aren't isolated coincidences, it recognizes the pattern and determines that this entire company is actively forming a buying committee.
It connects the dots to establish what Reach Marketing calls account-level intent.
Account-level intent.
And that is the holy grail. It's not just tracking one person, it is measuring the aggregate temperature of the entire organization.
The source actually outlines the progression of this intent, and seeing the timeline laid out makes the AI's role so clear.
It really does.
It starts with the first signal, that initial white paper download or site visit. Then it monitors as the account moves into the research phase, where multiple people might be comparing options.
Then comes a really critical phase, internal discussion.
And this is where the most fascinating insight of the entire article drops. The AI looks at the data and recognizes something the human sales teams constantly get wrong.
This is huge.
The authors write, and I'm quoting here, silence does not always mean there is no opportunity.
That single sentence fundamentally changes how sales pipelines are managed.
How so?
Well, in the traditional model, if a lead went quiet for 3 weeks, human nature dictates that the deal is dead.
Yeah, you just assume they moved on.
Right. The salesperson assumes the prospect lost interest. They close the file and they move on to the next cold call.
But the reality of corporate bureaucracy is that silence usually just means the account is having internal meetings.
Exactly. They are waiting for the new fiscal quarter to open.
Or the CFO is on vacation.
Yes, the committee is just working in the background.
And instead of aggressively badgering them with those awful, just bubbling this up to the top of your inbox emails,
Oh, I hate those.
we all do. Instead of that, the AI simply observes the silence.
It watches and waits.
It continues to monitor the passive signals, maintaining that gentle surround sound of display ads, waiting patiently for the behavioral cues that indicate the internal roadblock has cleared.
It's waiting for the rising intent phase.
That's when the red string board lights up again.
Exactly. Multiple signals start firing across different channels from different people at the exact same company.
And then, only then, does the AI classify the account as sales ready.
Which completely transforms the job of the human sales team.
Yeah.
Because the goal of Marketing AI Plus is not to replace human salespeople with robots.
Right.
The goal is to make the human interaction infinitely more valuable.
Because you aren't handing a salesperson a cold phone number and a name anymore.
You are handing them a fully contextualized dossier.
That is so powerful.
It is. When the AI determines an account is sales ready, the human representative gets the entire signal history. They know the technical lead spent 20 minutes on the API page.
They know the executive team engaged with ROI metrics.
Right, and they know the exact sequence of events that led to this moment.
It changes the entire posture of that first meeting. The salesperson doesn't have to start with a generic elevator pitch.
No, they can walk into the conversation as a consultant.
Tailoring their very first sentence to the specific pain points the AI has already identified, you are basically solving their problem before they even have to explain it to you.
And that is the ultimate thesis of Reach Marketing's approach. The article notes they have generated over 1.1 million leads.
Wow. Over a million.
Yeah, and that volume of data has led them to a definitive conclusion. B2B marketing has to stop measuring success by lead volume.
And start measuring success by pipeline intent.
Exactly.
Volume versus intent.
Yeah.
It's quality over quantity on a massive algorithmic scale.
That's the core of it.
If you generate 10,000 initial form fills, but you lack the surround sound infrastructure to nurture them,
and you lack the AI to track their committee's intent,
then those 10,000 leads are virtually worthless. You will just end up with a massive pile of stalled deals.
It is about connecting marketing activity directly to actual revenue outcomes, rather than just celebrating the acquisition of an email address.
So to synthesize everything we've explored today, we started with that painful, universally understood problem of the B2B deal that just inexplicably stalls out.
The black hole.
Right, the black hole. And the core realization is that businesses do not buy things. Committees buy things. If your marketing strategy relies on snagging a single junior employee and hoping they can sell your product to their own executive board, you are setting everyone up for failure.
You have to shift your perspective.
You have to surround the entire buying group, orchestrate your messaging across multiple physical and digital channels, and use AI to decode the complex behavioral signals they leave behind.
You wait for the aggregate intent of the organization to peak, and then you strike with perfect context.
So for you listening to this, the next time you are tasked with researching a new software tool for your department, pay close attention.
Really watch what happens.
When you start seeing highly specific display ads on your favorite news site the very next day.
Or when a beautifully designed direct mail piece inexplicably lands on your boss's desk a week later.
Hopefully this deep dive gives you a profound appreciation for the invisible AI-driven machinery operating in the background. They see the signals. They know you are forming a committee.
This raises an important question, though. A thought to leave you with as you navigate this highly connected business environment.
What's that?
Well, if systems like Marketing AI Plus are constantly evolving, getting sharper at reading our behavioral signals and aggregating our disparate digital footprints.
Yeah.
If they can essentially predict when our internal buying committee is ready to make a move, sometimes even before we consciously schedule the meeting ourselves.
That's a little speaky.
It is. How will our own expectations of privacy and our own corporate decision-making processes evolve? What happens to our autonomy when we know we are constantly walking through this highly coordinated, invisible surround sound?
That is a fascinating, slightly unsettling, but incredibly important thought to end on. It definitely changes how you look at the ads following you around the internet, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, that wraps up our look into the AI-driven evolution of B2B marketing. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. And as always, keep exploring.
Until next time.